Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to hear your word faithfully preached, and we ask your blessing both on our brother here, Lord, that his tongue, Lord, would speak your truth,
Amen.
That his heart, Lord, would be aligned with your heart, and that our hearts would be open, Lord. If there be any barrier at all in any one of our hearts, any distraction, anything at all, Lord God, would you please help us to set it aside, set it behind.
Amen.
That our hearts would be turned to you, Lord God, to hear what you have for us. If there be any demonic power, anything at all, Lord God, just remove it from this place.
Mm-hmm.
And let this be a place where holiness prevails.
Amen.
And that our hearts would just be turned to hear, Lord, and receive from you heavenly bread. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Marlon, for sharing with us what you experienced over there. When I received text that you're on your way home, my prayers went out to you. I'm sorry I wasn't praying for you over there. I guess I didn't. I knew you were there, but it kind of slipped my mind until you came back. The text just started coming for prayer requests for safe travels. But this morning, we're thankful to have you with us, and also Amar, let's pray for him through the weeks and not do as I did with Marlon there, but in a situation where he's in, a dark situation like that, he needs our prayers. And the gospel, gospel, there's a flame start, and it is the enemy's desire, the uttermost desire of the enemy, to extinguish that flame before it grows. And we realize that as we've experienced similar things there when I gave my life to the Lord. There was false belief, people with false beliefs coming to me and sharing with me. And so thanks for sharing there, Brother Marlon. We have a desire to have this joint fellowship with you from Tyosa. I don't see our fellowship sticks out very well, but here and there I find a few. We're a small group. Thankfully, I believe the Lord has allowed each of us to come here safely. I think that Myron and Cheryl are not here, and Jordan and Gerald Lynn, and Leon's, they are not here also. So our desire is to bless you as we fellowship together today, and to encourage us on. And I also heard that we will be having a Thanksgiving meal, and I thought it would be appropriate to... For us, as a congregation, we are all very thankful for the miles you've traveled helping us get started over there in Tyosa. It's the first early on there was quite a few families each Sunday, and we want to thank you for that, because it would have been quite a change for us to just, boom, quit coming here and having our own group. And I feel the Lord has blessed that more than you realize to the congregation here. And thank you for John Robert. He used to come about every Sunday to help run the sound system. But we've also seen that there has been changes in your midst here in the last years. And we've been feeling for you as a congregation. And it is our heart's desire to be here this morning to show our love to you and also bless you. I do realize that... Some of you buried the grandchild. Some of you buried the children. Some of you grandchildren. Some of you buried your closest friend. And some of you have buried nieces. But we can all meet. We can all meet again someday. It is up to you, individual yet remaining. I know in a congregation this size, we are not all ready, so I can't speak when I speak this morning about the Church of God. In my heart, the message that the Lord has laid on my heart, Steve had asked me about 2 weeks ago to come share here last Sunday, and then I shared with him, no, we as a congregation, we're thinking of, Mark was planning on getting with Steve and sharing that we plan on attending here as a joint service on this Sunday. So I shared with Steve it would fit better for us to share a message this Sunday. So there was 2 weeks, and it's kind of long to know you need to share for 2 weeks. I didn't experience this before. A lot of times it's a week's notice, but it comes, a couple days are left. Now it's 1 day left, and now it's no more day left, and tomorrow morning, and now here it is, tomorrow morning. And when I was sitting there, I did a mistake. When I seen you brethren walk in the door, I realized that there are many of you who would be very well qualified to share a message with us today. But I realized the responsibility of myself. I cannot, it's laid on me, or I was the one responsible this morning, and God has given me a message to share. And my heart is that you would give me attention so that you can follow through my heart. What God has laid on my heart. So, thankful to see each of you. I had thought, I knew that you had been practicing a choir here. I thought it would bless us from Tyosa if the choir would come up and sing just a few songs after the message sometime. I don't know if we have enough time for that. I feel that we need to receive a blessing from you as well, maybe. If you could do that, I guess, Brother Merv, if you would feel you would have time, get together with Mart and see when you want to do that. If you're not, that's okay. We've accepted no's for an answer before. So, okay, the title of the message is, When the Bridegroom Comes, Will You Be Ready? And the message is not going to, it's almost like a wedding message. But it is a very deep burden on my heart that we realize that the bridegroom is the bridegroom. A groom is the man that is going to be marrying. And so also there needs to be a bride for this union to be complete. And Christ desires very much a bride this morning. When he comes, will you be ready? When I married in 1993, sounds kind of long back, in 1900s, we were just married for a few weeks, and Marvin came over, my brother-in-law Marvin came over that one day, maybe a few weeks after we were married, and there was one building that was a post office building, an older post office building. We had rented a house, and in that same yard there were a few outbuildings. We rented the house, the garage, and on the north side of the house there was this old post office where we hadn't gone in yet. This was out of our territory, supposedly. We were renting the house and the garage. But Marvin and I had such a desire to look inside this building to see what this old post office building looks like. And we ended up going in the back door one day. And I remember, well, we were scrounging through that junk back in there. And this was an amazing find we had. We had some antiques on the shelf from the old post office. It was a general store, post office combined, maybe about a third of the size of this sanctuary. And the shelves were still, some of them had things on remaining from the actual store. And it was an interesting thing. But going through that, we were, of course, taught and raised as the Old Order Mennonite there. We were not allowed to have any tape recorder, any radios, or anything such. And we came upon this tape player. And sure enough, Marvin stirred up, I think he stirred up a few tapes. And this was the old 8-track tapes. I'm sharing this to get us a little glimpse of what the burden is on my heart. And when we stuck in the tape, this was such an ancient thing, we didn't know if it would work or not. And sure enough, there was some sound came out of the speakers. And we had a gospel track. One of those songs, the only song that I remember, I don't know if Marvin would any other songs or not, would be, There's Going to Be a Wedding Pretty Soon. Are you ready for the groom when the master comes after his bride? And it sang so nice and beautiful that the goosebumps went up and down my arm as a young married man. I knew what it is to be married. I was just married, newly married. And this is a different song. This is, will you be ready when the master comes after his bride? And I didn't tell Marvin after he left. I got that out. And I had such a desire. And I want just to share with you the feeling of my own heart at that time in my life. And I don't want any of you be going out of the church house today with such a feeling as I had there. And I'll share with you in a little bit what that feeling was. But we were not allowed any tape players. So I had set this up in the front of the building towards the road. There was plenty of doors and windows. And I had moved it up there to the road so I could see if there would be anybody coming that would find me with this instrument because I would be kicked out of the church or I would be visited. And I had a desire to sing this song again. And this song was the one that I remember. And when that song sang, I had this deep sinking feeling, when the bride comes, I'll see everything take place and I will not go with him. And it was a sad feeling. I replayed it and replayed it till it was stuck in my heart. When the master comes after his bride, will we be ready? I knew that there'll be some of you going, but I did not know about myself. At first, when I heard this song, I thought it was false doctrine because I was under the belief and I was under the conviction that we do not know when we're ready. We don't know. We just hope that by the best of our ability that we will be good enough for the master to pick us out and take us along. That was the teachings I had. But I knew better in my young years that when the master comes after his bride, that I don't think it'll be me, but I think some will go see him. Listen closely. Some will go see him, some will not. Why? Well, I have a few different sections here. I'm not a very organized person. But one of the titles here, we're going to look at why Christ desires a bride. The next one is, who is the bride of Christ? Next one is, are we as a bride preparing for that last day? And then I got some deeper teachings at the end. And I would like for you to prepare your hearts. It's not a message that comes very easy for me, because I do feel the bride of Christ has some things that we need to look into. And here in the back, we'll get into that. So pray for your own hearts and mine also as well. And when I looked at why does Christ desire a bride, I had to look in my own life and go through why did I desire a bride. You know, we're created in the likeness and the image of God. When Adam was created, the Lord created Adam, he was created in the likeness and the image of God. And so therefore we can see our likenesses are somewhat similar to God's likenesses. He desires a bride just as much as any of us men do. In Genesis 2, verse 20, we can read how Adam named all the animals, and he went down through and named all the animals, and he's seen that there was no help meet for him. And he got a lonely feeling, I'm sure. There is a piece missing, we can see, at the creation. And then, of course, we know, those of us who read it, how God made Eve out of Adam's rib and brought her to him. Remember, in the future of the message here, Adam was not going after the bride. The bride, which is a church, a type and a figure of Eve coming to Adam. God brought her to Adam. Adam, a type and a figure. And when I speak of types and figures, I don't know, we in the Mennonite settings knew that as it's a simple of this. No, if, for instance, Adam is a type and a figure of Christ, it simplifies, it's like a type and a figure. It is a type of Christ. It's similar to Christ. It's a picture. It's almost like if we look at Adam, he was the first man. That his bride came later, Eve, which is a type and a figure of the wife, the bride. So I'll be using the types and figure through the message here some. Adam found that there was no help meet for him. Now let's remember that Christ is full of mercy, he's full of love, he's full of forgiveness and compassion, he's full of understanding, and can do miracles beyond us. Now, he is a man that has all these compassions and understandings and all these, he can do miracles and he has mercy and he has love. If we have that in our hearts, it needs to find a source to pour out to. Have you ever realized that? If you have a thankful feeling in your heart, if you have a very thankful feeling in your heart, if you're thankful to be here this morning, you don't thank your dog. You don't thank the stalk of corn out there. You have a God you want to thank for. See, it has a, if we have a feeling or a, if we're full of mercy, we're full of love and compassion, it'll reach out. And he needs somebody to reach out to. And so Christ, let's remember, Christ is full of these, and he desires to pour these out into his bride, which are the redeemed. And to get this a little more clear, I'm going to share you a story of my wife and I. Thank you, Stephen. My wife and I, back just before our marriage, we were headed home. We rode bicycles. At first, my new bike I bought, I was so interested in this new bike that I looked at the pictures and I seen this is what I wanted. And when I called in to order this bike, the man said, what size man are you? I said, I'm pretty big. I'm 6 foot. He said, I have a problem. I only have one left of them, and that's a small frame bicycle. I said, that'll be fine enough for me. So I was this big man riding around with a stem all the way up in my little bike, you know. And so I was tired by the time we married of this bike, and I decided I'm going to get the biggest frame bike. So I got a big frame bike. And I was biking this big frame bike home as a red bike, older bike, wasn't new. And we were going uphill, my wife and I, we were headed home to her parents. And we were biking uphill, and I gave it, you know, I biked around in pretty high gear, just a lot of strain, a lot of strength there too. And I busted my chain. We were about 2 miles from home. I'm sharing this, you can smile, but I want you to get the picture. Here we had a problem. The chain was busted on my bike. And I knew that to get home, we don't want to walk. It's too far to walk. And to have her push me, that wouldn't look right. So all at once, the thought came to me, I'll set Miriam on top of this big bike, and I'll push her the rest of the way home. I want to share this with you because of some things. She was up there, couldn't reach the road. And I had all at once received a responsibility to keep her going forward. If I stopped pushing, she would fall over. This is the same type and a figure of what Christ, he desires to pour his love, his strength, his power into something. And a lot of times we as a bride do not call upon him for our help and our source of strength. We think we can do this with our own strength and our own abilities. But God has, the Lord has such a desire to pour out his love and reach out to help us. A lot of times we miss it. Till we have a very big need, then we start asking. This was not a big need, but I found a fulfillment in doing my part in pushing my wife, and she was having faith in me to keep her afloat, or her balance. And we came home pretty happy. See, I was doing my responsibility. There's something in a man, if he is providing for his bride, and he feels he's blessing her, and he's pushing her, and he's... And that is the same desire God has for us as the bride. We are the bride of Christ, and he has that same desire to keep us in the faith, in the truth, and keep us going, as what I had to keep Miriam going. You get the picture. A lot of times we feel that we will keep going as long as we can, and then when we get to the point where we need help, we'll pray. But that is not God's heart. His uttermost desire is to have such a close relationship that he will be your very source of strength. And I pushed her home, and she was getting, I believe, also a satisfied feeling. She enjoyed when her husband, or to be, took care of her. And she still does to this day. And that is how the bride of Christ should feel. We love when Christ takes care of us. Do we feel that this morning? When Christ is taking care of us, and we see it, let's keep our eyes open in the little things, in the big things. Christ is taking care of us. He is encouraging us. When we went through that funeral, Jerry and Ada went through, and all the congregation here, Christ was taking care of us. He was. He is our help. He is our healer. He is our strength. He is basically all our all. And best of all, our groom to be. And I'm going to share with you another story. At the beginning here, we're going to have a few stories to so you can get your heart and the picture of the message more clearly. Now remember, He is our help, He is our healer, our strength, and our all. That is it, Ty. But you know, as you men help your wives, you know, when they have a breakdown in the car, you go out on the road and you help them, you strengthen them, or you, whatever. You're the one that she calls on, and you're trustworthy if you're a godly man. You know, sometimes she's way out, a long ways from home, and maybe have something. Then you say, well, I'm going to call such and such, and he'll help you in this way. But she has this confidence that you, as an earthly groom, will take care of her. But today, men, we are the brides. We are also the bride. A lot of men have a problem realizing that we are this man. We are men. But when it comes to this, men, we are the bride of Christ. It's a new place for us. When I married a bride. But this time, the next wedding I'll be in the Lord's wedding, I will be the bride. It's kind of hard for us men to grasp. I got to watch myself or I'll run ahead of my message. I'm going to share with you a story. Now let's look forward. There's going to be a wedding pretty soon. Are you ready for the groom? And if we are, it should be a joy in our heart. It should be a desire of our heart to have that day come. It's not something that we'll dread. We're actually looking forward to that day. I thought about drawing a road on the map, this is not a map, they call it chalkboard. Of all the way in there, the road narrows, it's all the way up there, and then the mountains, and beyond the mountains you see the glories. You see a little bit of the glory to come. You know, the bright rays coming out from the kingdom of God. We see that by faith. Now this bride, if you're a bride, the people that are preparing for this wedding of the Lord, we should be a little bit as this bride did a couple years back. I knew this bride to be. In the Mennonite settings, when the bride received her chime clock, it was an engagement gift. We did not give any engagement rings. We did not give anything else. It was the clock that we called our engagement gift in our circle. And I don't know how many of you have chime clocks, but they make a noise and play tunes. Ding, 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 dong. Ding, ding, dong, 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 dong. That's a tune it plays. Well, she put some song and notes, words to this notes, and I'll share this with you. This was a condition of her heart. She was feeling, looking forward to that wedding day. She had received her clock. She knew that her husband is going to marry her. And she knew that certain day, they had a day probably picked out when she was going to marry. Can you get a little bit of excitement just with me to realize that that day is coming where that wedding is? And she put these words on in German. I'm not going to say it in German because I feel there's too many that don't understand it. So I'm going to try to translate it. It won't be long till I can marry. Then we'll have fun, me and my man. Joy, joy. Every time it's chom. Every time it's doing. She had joy in her heart. And I believe the church of God, the bride of Christ, should live with joy. I feel a lot of times we think we are not perfect enough. We're still worried about this little bit of sin that is in our life or this little flesh that we don't have joy. I've seen it in my own life. But when Christ sees us, He desires, first of all, joy and purity. I'm going to speak about purity. But joy is one of the most beautiful things if you see it on the face of a bride. Joy. We can come there purified, but if there's no joy there and there's a gloomy, it's just not complete. So let's remember the bride of God, Christ. Let's have joy. And the joy comes by putting our trust and our faith in Him. For her, when that clock chimed, it was joy, joy, joy. She looked forward to that day. Are you looking forward? Or will you be left behind? So Christ desires a bride to pour out His love, to pour out His mercy, His compassion, His power, more than we can even preach, I feel. I feel I can't preach all that Christ would like to do for His bride. And which young man wouldn't want to do all he could do for his bride? Testimony of Amar. The next thing we're looking at here is the bride of Christ, the saints, is the church, is the redeemed. Who is the bride of Christ? The testimony of Amar, where he gave his heart to the Lord there, that Marlon just read. He was purchased by the bridegroom. Will he continue faithfully to the end and meet the Lord and be His bride? I don't buy for this thing of having a testimony and not following faithfully through. I cannot tell you that there will be a wedding for you at the end. I have tried to look for Scripture. But for us who have been born again and are not interested in heading for the Lord's pathway, you know, just being saved and continue living in sin and in worldliness and in them things. I am a little careful how I say this because there is grace. But what I'm saying is that he who endureth to the end shall be saved. There's something to that that I can't preach around. It's a faithfulness to the one who we're espoused to. I don't know if that's the right word to use there or not. So with that, we'll turn to Matthew 25. It speaks about the 10 virgins. I knew you probably came here and had no idea that it's going to be a wedding message, but this is a deeper wedding that we want to look at today. It is a wedding that we will be seeing. If you will be the ones joining the bridegroom, we don't know, but you may see it take place. I don't know for sure how that will be in the last day. For some reason, I think that's kind of maybe how it will be. Chapter 25 of Matthew. Then the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, all of them. At midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, open unto us. But he answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I know ye not. Those would be some very hard words, but that will happen. Were these brides not preparing? They went out to meet him. They were going to churches. They were in church buildings, evidently. You know, they were going. They thought they were part of this. The only thing they were missing, they did not have enough oil in their vessel to fill their lamp again to get it burning. And God wants us to take a very close look at this. This is all red writing in my Bible here. This was Jesus' own teachings about to us as his bride. Jesus was teaching to the bride we're here when he was speaking about the bride, the virgins. Now listen closely. I don't want anybody to miss this. Our vessels are the bodies. We have a vessel. What is your vessel filled with? Is it filled with the goodness of God? Is it filled with Christ's blood? Is it filled with grace? Have you received grace from Christ? Have you received a new heart? Or is your vessel empty of God and full of the world? You know, these things, I don't know what Jesus was for sure saying here. I would actually like to hear more teaching on this. But there is something here that I want each of us to know. We can think we're ready, but it takes an effort. it takes that second vessel full of oil. And I think it is that second vessel full of grace. You know, are we calling upon the Lord for our daily life? Is He the source and our power and our strength and our faith is in Him? Is He, or are we in the vessel and there's no oil there? There's not Christ there. Listen closely. We don't want to miss this part. Many years I did go to churches and Nelson was full of Nelson. And it needs to be, it should be a slow change. Nelson should be dying out as I get older and more mature in Christ. And Christ should be raising up in me. Henceforth, I'm a new creature. No more Nelson. Not I that speak, but Christ in me is one word. Remember, that is an important part as you want, if you have a truly desired to be part of the bride of Christ, Nelson should be dying, or you should be dying, and Christ should be rising up. I understand when a young man is getting ready for his bride that he needs a house, he needs a truck, and his thoughts are a lot in his truck and his house, and that's okay, and I believe God has grace for that. If we are slowly dying, or not just slowly, if we're dying to self and raising to Christ, that is the type of bride that Christ desires. We're not all perfect. Let's remember that. So the five foolish ones did not have their vessels full of grace and truth, full of the Lord. They didn't even have the vessels there, I don't think. I have written down, and I couldn't find it in my commentary, so I don't know what to do with this. I shouldn't speak things that I don't know. I thought I heard the phrase, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Is that something in the Bible? Yes, thank you. I tried to find it in my commentary and only looked for a few minutes and thought it was scripture, but I couldn't find it. So I have a desire to not speak anything but the truth. To him that knoweth to do good. Remember, if you're a bride of Christ and you know to do good and you don't do it, those things, to him it is sin. And you can all, I realize that in a congregation this size, I hope it won't be this way, but I gotta speak the words of God. This is also the word of Jesus, just over in the opposite page of Matthew 24, verse 40. There shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. It's like we can be in the church house here. One shall be taken and one left. That's how serious this is. We would like to say anybody who's inside the church building will all be taken. That would be an easy salvation. Just come inside the door. But it is not so. I can't preach that because here Christ himself said, there shall be two in a field, one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding in the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. That'll be a sad parting. Just to realize that when I'm speaking of the bride, I am speaking of the true bride of Christ, not the church, everybody is in the building. I'm speaking about those who are emptying themselves and allowing Christ to raise up. Thankfully, we have a lot of you in here. Page with me to Genesis 24. We're going to read quite a bit there. Main part of the message will be coming out of there. Genesis 24. Remember always that Christ desires to care for you. I don't. And it brings worry into my life. It brings fear into my life. And it brings burdens into my life that I wouldn't need to carry. But when you were a young man, and or you're men that are married, if your wife knows that you care for her and she trusts you, there's be many, many fears removed from her life, many burdens, discomforts. Same way with us trusting our bridegroom. If we trust him, there'll be more joy in your life, and there'll be more power. I'm going to read here of how Isaac, Abraham sent out Eliezer to get a wife for Isaac. I'm going to read the I don't know for sure how I didn't figure out where I'm going to start. Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his eldest servant of the house that ruled over all he had. Now remember, Abraham had a servant who ruled over all that he had. Together with Abraham he was. Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of Canaanites, among whom I dwell. Abraham was telling he doesn't want his son to take one of the unbelievers' brides. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Preadventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. And the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear of this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and sware to him concerning the matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by the well of water at the time of the evening, when the time that woman got out to draw water. He said, O Lord, my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show me kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand there by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Now he was praying here. And let it come to pass that the damsel, who I shall say, let down the pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she will say, Drink, and I will give thy camels also. Let the same be that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. May the same be that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shewed kindness unto my master. Now we can read on how it came to pass, how she came. And in verse 16, And damsel was very fair to look upon. This was Rebekah, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled the pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, Let me, pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also, all 10 of them, I'm sure, until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water and drew it for his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord hath made his journey to prosper or not. And it came to pass, as the camels were done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, 2 bracelets for her hand of 10 shekels of weight of gold, and said, Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Michal. I'm embarrassed in my English, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, We have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. Goes on to say how the Laban came and saw the earrings and the bracelets. And it came, then he repeats how he told to Laban, I think, about how this all happens, that he prayed that the woman who would drink his camels also, he would take a drink and she would offer, that would be the one. And he shared this with them. In verse 47, he's saying that he had asked her and said, Whose daughter art thou? And she said, The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Micah bare unto him, and I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands, and I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, If ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me. Right here was the very important part. And we come to lives as individuals. We come to a place in life where we need to make a decision. Are we going to be for the Lord or not? This was a weighty decision. And Eliezer said this, and I'll read it again. He was coming down. He did not know if the damsel would go with him or not, if Rebekah would be able to go with him or not. And right here is a dividing point in her life. It changed her a very different part. She was Rebekah that was going to be heading out to a far country to this Abraham who had traveled long ways from home. She heard much about him. And the decision was here now. And now if you will deal kindly and truly with my master. And that way he worded it, she was thinking of his master, which is Abraham, way in a far country. Tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right or hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We can't speak unto thee bad or good. When that decision comes for you and you deny it, if you know there's a slow pricking on your heart, what should I do here? To him who knoweth good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. She chose to do what the Lord wanted her to do. Remember, bride, remember us as a bride. We need to choose what the Lord has for us to do each day. Not just back when we became born again, but we have steps to follow in the rest of the way. She chose to go with him. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak the bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass, when Abraham's servants heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servants brought forth silver and gold, jewels of gold, raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. And he gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drank, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning and said, send me away unto thy master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel bide with us a few days, at least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord has prospered my way, and send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Bride of God, bride of Christ, this morning, have you decided, I will go. I will no longer wallow in this worldly riches. I will no longer wallow in this drink. I will no longer wallow in this smoke. I will no longer wallow in this state of unbelief. I will go. When she said those words, she not just drank his camels or fed his camels, she went. In her heart, she wanted to go. Bride of God, were you willing? Am I willing to go? Anyways, this was a serious situation for Rebekah. She'd never seen this land. She'd never seen Isaac, I don't think. Not like we do nowadays. Anyways, I need to keep going. Time keeps going here. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, you know, it would relieve me if I would take away that I'm pressing too much for time. Let's just let the choir singing go. And I need the message to get the message out. So maybe it would relieve me some. I feel the clock's going faster than my message is, if you can understand. And we'll let the choir singing go for today. So sorry about that. And she said, I will go. And I forgot where I was reading. And in 59, and they went away, Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah, and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. Rebekah arose with her damsel, too, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took away Rebekah and went his way. One place they call her a damsel. The second place they call her a nurse. The same one. Isaac came from the went his way. Now I want us to grasp a picture here today. When we see in this caravan of camels, there were 10 camels where Abraham had sent Eliezer to go bring Isaac a bride. If we would have been out in the fields working someday and we would have been halfway between the Nahor and the place where Abraham lived, and we had seen this caravan come up and the dogs started barking and we start looking, what is that? We would have some questions. What is this? And after a while, she came closer and we see this beautiful bride sitting on the first camel. Probably, this is all my thoughts. We would get, our family would be looking, and be similar to the other day. My wife and I and the children were all in the house, and there was a 18-year-old or so girl walking up the road, coming in a drizzling rain. And the boy said, there's a girl walking up the road. And I said, is she pushing a bicycle? You know, Mennonite girls sometimes get a flat tire on her bike. No, she's not pushing anything. Nobody's with her or anything. In the rain, no rain. Umbrella, I said, no umbrella. Doesn't look right. It does not look right. So by the time she was even with the house, the whole family was looking out the window and wondering what it is. And at that time, I was burdened to go out and see if we could help her. But at that same time, I was thinking it's my wife's responsibility because she's a girl. Now, men don't do that. I look back now and realize I was the one responsible. It should have been me, but we didn't. We let her go. 20 minutes later, there's a pickup truck came in. Lawan, my wife and I were sitting on the porch there, the back porch. Pickup truck drove up the lane. We were visiting. And I said, come up and join us on the porch. He said, no, he can't. He said, I'm so-and-so, and my daughter left me. Have you seen her? There's something wrong for sure. I said, yes, we did. I said, we understand. But by now, she would probably be out, headed towards the bypass. She wouldn't be there yet, or either down by the Harvest Moon store, somewhere in that area by the time period that has elapsed. I said, look down in the corner, look each way. And I said, we'll pray for you. And in a few minutes, here came the same pickup truck back, and the man came out, and a smile on his face. He said, it worked. And he found his daughter walking away. Now, I realize the congregation has experienced a similar thing. It is not easy to see somebody leaving away from the right way. It is not easy. This was not a procession like that. This was something that was fulfilled. The bride of Christ, the bride of Isaac to be, was a fulfilled party. There were 10 camels. There were gold. There was silver. There was many gifts. And you can imagine, you know, the Son of Man shall appear in the east. And you can imagine looking out to the west and you see this 10 camel caravan coming with Eliezer leading the first camel and the bride sitting on it. And you walk up to Eliezer and you would say, can I shake your hand? He'd say, yes. And you would ask him, what is this about? We're on a journey, on a mission, to receive a bride for the master's son, Isaac. And you would see him, and I'm one responsible to bring back a bride. And you would glimpse over at the bride, and you see her happiness on her face. In the meantime, she would come off the camel, lie down, and start visiting with your wife. The bride would. And you would keep on visiting with Eliezer, and he would share with you the testimony of how that she said, I will go. That'll be a testimony. When we in our hearts decided we will go, we have gone a long way. But he will share his testimony with you of how he found this bride for Abraham's son Isaac. And she'll start ministering to your wife. And your wife says that, yes, you ran out of sugar. And she said, I have some. I'll go back and camel so-and-so. I'll give you some. Oh, and your wife will say, no, you really don't. You need that when you get there. No, I have plenty. My master has plenty. Our Lord has plenty. Sure. It is a type and a figure of the church. As we meet the church, are we a giving church? And one of the children may have a sliver in his arm, and she may go down and start picking the sliver out. Just a free, carefree attitude. And she may say to her nurse, go and get the oil from the camel so-and-so, and we'll want to put some oil on. And after that caravan leaves, and Eliezer has shared with you the testimony that this bride wants to go this far country and meet Isaac, you will say, wow. What did you experience? And your wife will say, it was just a calm, blessed experience. She had no selfishness in her heart. She had purity. She had no desire to gain. She was actually giving more than she was receiving from me. Because her master in a far country, Abraham, was a rich. He had everything he needed. That's our God. Our God is Abraham and a type and a figure of Abraham. Isaac is a type and a figure of the son Jesus. And the bride should not be a selfish bride. Remember, brethren, we are the bride. And when we see somebody in need and we pass them by and we give them all we have, our master has more resources to bless us with so we can bless more. Just a beautiful bride. It wasn't a bride that met your wife that was gloomy and glum, she was happy. She was thankful. She was, are we? Now comes the part that I would rather not share. But we need to go through this because the Lord has laid it on my heart. And it burdens me to think of how the bride suffers, the bride of God, in this very matter. And it shouldn't, but the bride here is a deep burden of mine. Christ desires a bride who is in a state of happiness, in a state of joy, state of thankfulness, and a bride who is looking forward to that day of coming home with Christ. You know, Abraham, he was looking forward to when the bride gets here for his son Isaac. That is how it is with our Heavenly Father. He's looking forward to when Jesus' bride comes home to be with his son. That's a beautiful thing to look forward to. When this bride came home, what will it be? What will we be? Will we be a selfish bride that has collected all things along the way? Or will we share with our Master and our Creator? Well, yes, I met so-and-so. I don't know how that'll be. But just for us to get a picture. And I believe on your hearts, you kind of get along with where I'm going. To get on our picture, a worldly bride oft times is the opposite of Christ's bride. Now I say that in a very easy way. The worldly bride tries to decorate the outside. They put some lipsticks on or I don't know what. But the matter of fact for me, if a lady is dressed up in such a situation, it literally turns me off. Especially now, it just doesn't. This bride that came home for Isaac was not one that was decorated on the outside. Yes, he put gold on her hands, but her inner spirit is what Isaac and her met, and they became one. It was not because she was conditioned on the outside in this certain worldly fashion. It was her condition of her heart that they melted together and became one. And they blessed Father Abraham. So we are not, Christ is not looking for a lot of jewelry, not looking for a lot of hairstyles, different hairstyles, looking for a bride who has a spotless white robe. We can read in Revelation. One who has washed its garments, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's the bride that God desires. So there is a wedding garment that we all need to wear. We can read in scriptures of that garment. If we enter in without the garment and the washing of the blood of Christ, we will not be able to enter in. A lot of fancy words. A lot of pomp and pride. No. Christ is not desiring a lot of pride. Not in a bride. He's desiring somebody who can pour out his trust. You understand. It's time for me to move on. Now let's listen. There was a nurse that traveled with Rebecca. And the bride of Christ, we are a congregation. Do we have a nurse in our lives? That was something that Nelson Shirk in his life, for most part, did not care to have. But I realized more than ever the need of a nurse in my life. Now, I'm not speaking about a physical nurse. I'm speaking about my spiritual soul. When we look at the spiritual part of us real closely, we won't even see ourselves fully. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying this. I'm going to say it again. If we look in our spiritual condition of our hearts, a lot of times there's something in me that when I get in the barn a little in a hurry or a little frustrated, my cattle will tell me that there's something in this man, they're afraid of him today. And I'll say, what's the cattle all acted up to like this about? And I'll see it was me that they're worried about. I can easily sense that. But without letting me know that I'm in such a condition, I didn't even realize that I got there. My wife senses it more than I do when I'm in a hurry and I'm a little pushier. I don't know how to word it. Techie is what comes, is a German word. The need of a nurse. Rebecca took one with her. She took a nurse with her. When you are a bride on a camel journeying so far, let's just get practical. She probably had some dirt from the camels on her backside. And that nurse, if it had the right condition of her heart, came up to her and said, hey, I'd like for you to, or not like for you to, I see a little dirt on the backside of your white robe here, or white, let me wipe it off. Yeah. And you back over and you say, yeah, wipe it off. Thank you. I'm glad you've seen that. Because your main desire is to be pure, spotless Lamb of God. I'm going to say that you ministers are this nurse. Are you doing your part? It's not your bride. It is not your bride. And a lot of times I hear ministries that are ordained ministers, they say so-and-so's church. And I cringe a little bit so the young ones don't get it. It is not his church, really. He just ministers there. It would sound better if they would say it's so-and-so's church where he ministers. And ministers, have you seen that the work you're doing in the bride is not for your own glory and for your own honor and for your own, so people think that you did it? It is all for the work of the Lord. We're preparing a bride for that. I know when I'm sharing this that I shouldn't. But I want us to not fumble in this and to get the seriousness of it. We are not preparing a bride for ourselves. We are preparing a bride or the ministry. This is where I want to make it clearer yet. The ministers are not all ordained ministers. You can have, if you're out on a work job, and you have a construction job going, or a fence job. We do fences, or I do fences, and my boys do. And the littlest one on the crew, the newest one, the youngest one, and the one that you pay the less on the crew, has some good counsel for you. And you automatically think, you're the new one here. What do you think you're telling me? You're not allowing the ministry to flow into your life. That should be a sign in your life. No matter how old you are, no matter how far you are advanced in your business, if you don't take time to listen to counsel, whether it comes from ungodly or godly. Ungodly, I'm saying if it's good counsel from an ungodly, listen to it, but don't follow his ungodly ways. Have the ministers even, have they learned to receive counsel? I remember we read here just a little bit ago how David had a desire to count the Israelite nation and see all the Israelite people counted that would be able to carry a sword. And he asked Job to go count all the Israelite nation. And David received counsel from Job and said, Job thought that was not God's heart. But David did it anyways, because he's hardened against the counsel that came his way. And there was a great consequence that David had to pay for that sin of not obeying the counsel of Job. A lot of times, the nurse and the bride fall apart. They get in the way. They get in a squabble. But when Christ sees the bride, did she allow herself to be nursed? Did she allow herself to be? I can imagine the mom preparing her daughter for her own wedding. The daughter is thankful that mom fixed this and tucked this in and put a pin in here. The bride will become a beautiful thing if it's all done in the will of God. But there can be nurses that are such a picky nurse that you can't do anything right, and that you're just always feeling that you're not quite good enough. Oh, yeah, yeah. And then the nurse sees this, and then she sees that, and she sees this. I know that that's not God's heart either, to be a nitty-gritty picking person. But what my desire, the heart of God, is that the bride accepts ministry. And I'm speaking, when you speak ministry with our term and the way we have it in this day and age, when we speak of ministry, we speak about the ordained ministry, and that's what we call ministry, but it's not. If you as a person in business, or you as a wife in a kitchen, you allow somebody to minister and to help you and to give you a recipe how to do it, you're allowing ministry into your mid, into your life. If you don't know quite how to make this cake and you know this sister over here has made that cake and you call her, you have a need and she is able to minister to your need. Do you get the picture? A lot of times the bride is not ready for ministry. I mean, in our own hearts. I'm not speaking about the majority part. People need to be open for ministry in our own advice and counsel in our own lives. This bride of Abraham, or Isaac, had a nurse going along with her to help her, to cook with her, to just be with her. Nurse's heart is that I want to meet her groom also. I want to meet the groom-to-be also that this bride is going to meet. There's no jealousy. Nurse does her part unselfishly, just like the bride is doing her part unselfishly. Again, realizing it's not the nurse's bride, but the nurse is preparing or helping the bride prepare herself for the groom. And I want to share this with you just to realize that, do you know that they which minister about holy things, now I'm speaking about everybody, live of the things of the temple. This is Paul's writing. And they which wait at the altar are partakers of the altar also. Just to realize that when I'm speaking about a bride and a nurse, you may be thinking here, I'm the nurse, I'm not the bride, what does he mean? I won't be able to be partaker of this. No. If you're called and in your heart you have a calling to meet this man's need, you have something in you, given of God, to a brotherhood responsibility to go help him. And you'll also be partaker of that wedding. Now, this is the opposite side of it. I was speaking about the ministers. It's not your bride, but you have a responsibility. Now, I'm speaking about the responsibility of the congregation or of the bride or of the people. And I do feel that ministry is a very needful part of the bridal party. You know, if the nurse would not have been with that group, them 10 camels, and the nurse would not have been with Rebecca, I don't feel that that party would have been completed. There would have been only one lady. And maybe the bride would not have been prepared. I know when a brother comes to us and may see something in my spiritual life, the natural response is, I don't like it. He always comes to me that way. If he wouldn't come with his eyes twitching like that when he talks to me, I would have known he's... You know, he comes with his eyes just, I could tell he was nervous. I don't like it. I want us to realize we don't want to be told as self. We don't want to take care. We want to take care of ourself. We are this person and nobody needs to tell anything in our life. It's a very normal situation. But it's a needful part. That we allow ministry to into our midst. When David went to bring the ark back to Jerusalem, he counseled with the elders, he counseled with the rulers. He learned the lesson to allow people to talk into his life. It is not a belittling thing to have somebody younger than you come to you and say, I feel that you're this way or that. You know, and you'd be open. You know the way that he approached you was maybe a little wrong, but the main thing that he came, what was it? Yeah, and if you don't see it yourself, maybe tell him, I'll think about it and pray about it, and I'll see, maybe something you have there. I am saying this, that men tend to be hardened and do not like to be told. But it's a needful thing to prepare a bride for Christ, for the brothers to be able to speak to one another, not always in criticizing ways, to praise one another and to thank one another. and to just flow back and forth. But when I become hardened and you feel it, it's just something there that I can't reach him. We don't like it. We don't want to be told. We want to take care of ourselves. And I feel there's been many a crippled bride because of this. I do. And also, we need to see the effects of a nurse in our life or a minister into our life as a positive effect. It is something that is very needful, and we should be able to surround ourselves with such a group of people that we allow them to minister to us. It's not just all my way, then go to highway. But there is many a ministry not done because the person with the burden on his heart knows that if he goes there, you will not be able to accept what he has for you. And then it hinders the cleansing of the bride in that part. Always try to be ready. I know when my wife approaches me with some things, just a physical sense, if there's a need of removing a hair somewhere or something, that I'm middle of doing this, and I'll tell her I'm not ready. It's a bad time. But I'm wanting to learn to realize that just wait and listen. I guess I feel that I've not got this clear enough yet. You may say to Sarah that Sarah got rid of her nurse. See, Sarah put out her bondmaid, and Ishmael went with her. What do you think about that? You may ask me that. I'm going to share with you today. Listen closely, because this is how it lays on my heart. And I believe it is also the heart of God. If you feel it's not, approach me. Especially if I'm speaking on a message like this, I should be easily to be approached to. If I'm not, then I need to repent. But you may say, Sarah got rid of her handmaid. We don't need the nurse. We don't need anybody ministering to our lives. We can do it ourselves. We're saved. We're this person that Christ has redeemed. He's all I need. I have a little concern for that type of thinking. We need each other. We need one and each other. I believe the bride was not just cleansed. Rebecca was not just getting ready by herself. I do truly believe that it was Eliezer's heart that she'd be beautiful when she get there. You know, he went to get her. He was hoping that he was probably giving her some suggestions and just having a friendly time. And the nurse, she was thinking, yes, I want to help too in what way I can. And the servants, I'm sure they made sure the camels were not going lame or stumbling. They wanted her camel to be upright when they get there, because they had this feeling, is she going to be what Isaac wanted? Is it going to be what Father Abraham wanted for his son Isaac? Get the picture. Do we get it? Everybody was involved. Everybody was interested. And the bride allowed the minister to go into her heart, and she allowed herself to be ready, because she wanted herself to be ready. And she thanked everybody who helped her, I'm sure. Let's be that. Let's thank everybody that helps us along the way. Not go down on them. Not think they are always picking on me and they're doing that. We may have a wrong heart if we have that. Anyways, understand my heart here. Now listen closely. Abraham's Sarah got rid of her handmaid. What do you make of that? This is something that I heard an older bishop in my younger years speak. He said, Abraham is a type and a figure of the Father, our Heavenly Father. Ishmael is a type and a figure of the bond. Ishmael was born of the bond woman. This was Irvin Zimmerman. I don't know those of you who knew it. Ishmael is a type and a figure of the bond woman, the old covenant. Ishmael was a type and a figure. The father was was Abraham, and Ishmael was a type and a figure of the old covenant. Then Isaac was born. The promised one of God was born, which is a type and a figure of the new covenant, Christ Jesus. And he was the promised one that God had promised Abraham years before, when that his wife at her old age would bear a son, and his name shall be Isaac. And he actually offered up Isaac on that altar, realizing that God himself offered up Jesus on the cruel cross of Calvary so that he may deliver us from our doom. A type and figure of Isaac. When he was on the altar, Abraham offered up Isaac. In his heart, he just as well did. He had the knife up and was coming on the way down when God intervened. In his heart, he had already killed him. Type and figure of the father and Jesus, Isaac. Then Eliezer, and we see the servant of Abraham, everything was given under his care. Everything was given under his responsibilities. All things that were Abraham's were Eliezer's. And do we realize that the type and figure of the Holy Spirit, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Eliezer, the Holy Spirit, was the one that was sent back to the Laban, back to the Haran town, whatever it was called, Nahor, and to bring back a bride prepared for Isaac. And that is what we have today. We have the Spirit of God here, if we listen to Him, preparing a bride for His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the type and figure of the Holy Spirit. Eliezer, the type and figure of the Holy Spirit, and He has come. When Christ died on the cross, He said, I will send my Comforter unto you. Eliezer had all things in common, and he took with him 10 camels. That's a type and a figure of the 10 commandments of God. Took with him 10 commandments, and when he came to that well there, he realized that he would need to pray, and whoever would heed to the 10 camels also, to the Holy Spirit and the 10 commandments also. And Rebecca ran to do it. It wasn't just a thing that she had to do, but she was willing to do it. Are we as a bride willing to feed the camels? Listen to the 10 commandments of God and listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, it's a type and a figure. It's similar as, is what I'm saying. And they went to bring back a bride for the son Isaac, Abraham's son Isaac. And now who is the type and a figure of Christ's church? It is us. This morning, it is us. We are the type and the figure of the bride of Christ. The Holy Spirit is calling us back, and we take heed of the 10 commandments. No, we don't just travel by ourselves. We ride back on the 10 commandments. We live by them, 10 commandments, and we live by the Holy Spirit. But do we bring the nurse with us also? Do we allow the nurse to do its part? I would encourage anyone who has not joined a bridal party that's headed home to the Lord to join. I'm speaking not to walk alone like that girl did walking down the road that wet day. That is not to travel as a Christian road. I would say the road home is with a body, with a group. And I have a burden on my heart to see the sheep scattered and alone. I'm not saying that they are not saved, but I'm saying they are in dangerous territory. Remember that Christ desires a bride, a pure bride. And we'll go back to Revelations here. At the closing, Revelations 22, and I'll leave you this thought. John was out on the Isle of Patmos, and some of these last words that Jesus had shared with John, verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things to the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, then the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Listen here closely. It's not just the Spirit that's saying come, but it's also the bride. And if it's the bride of Christ, it is a group of people who have given themselves to the Lord Jesus for His bride are also saying come. We don't walk just by the Spirit, I don't feel, but we'll walk with the bride. closing here, I would just like for you to come to me with any thoughts or any questions. I had no intentions of stirring up things, but to get us to realize the important part that Rebecca did. Do you hear here? Listen closely now. Rebecca did not stay in Nahor till Jesus came to get her. She traveled a long distance, and that's the distance we're traveling now, brothers and sisters. We're traveling that distance if you're a child of God. From Nahor unto the place where Isaac lives, unto the place of the promised land in heaven. And we have many people who say they're born again, but they stay at Nahor. And the burden of my heart is that you will be clear at that judgment day. You will not be able to say, nobody has ever told me that we need to follow the Lamb and the Holy Spirit and the Ten Commandments. Eliezer asked to go right away. He did not want to tarry and allow Rebecca there very long. He said, I'd like to get started right away. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to begin right away into our midst. Not wait a week, because it may go two. And not wait 10 years. It may go five more. But there is a journey from the place of being born again to meeting our Lord. And that is a sanctification, allowing Christ to have her all. Nelson dying to himself and allowing Christ to become more of me. And it was on my heart to share with you this morning that I feel we can't just stay there, but it's a growing journey. And it is my burden for you in Allen County, and it's a burden for everybody around the world to not remain where we're at, but we're journeying. And someday we shall meet the groom. Oh, what a glorious day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Christ returned. Isaac, Abraham was a type and a figure of the Father. Isaac is a type and a figure of the Son, Jesus. Eliezer is a type and a figure of the Holy Spirit. The nurse is a type and a figure of the ministry of Christ's body into your life, especially the ordained ones. We need to give them double honor, but also the rest of the body to minister into us. That's the nurse. Then also, we look at the return of Christ. Abraham did not want Isaac to go back to Nahor. Did you realize? The father did not want the son to go back to Nahor. When Christ returns, will he set his foot on the earth again? Or shall we meet him in the air? I just had that thought. I don't know if you have scriptures there one way or the other. But are we loosening from the earth and ready to meet him in the air? May the Lord bless you as we continue on.